the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is eternal and sometimes manifest to a larger extent in the material world and sometimes to a lesser extent. So then it seems that there is an inauguration of the Sankirtan movement. Although the Sankirtan movement is always present in this universe, and always there are devotees who are chanting the holy name of the Lord. Even in early Vedic scriptures, such as the Kali Santaran Upanishad, the holy name is there. Iti sodasakam nam nam kali kalma sanasanam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Through these 16 syllables of the holy name of Krishna, the influence of the age of Kali can be destroyed. The sinful influence, Kali Kalmasa, the sinful influence of this age of Kali can be destroyed. So, when it comes to the power of the holy name, there are ample of descriptions pointing out that the power of the name is by no means limited, because Purna Suda Nitya Mukto Abhinatvam Nami Nami No. Padma Purana is saying Purna Suda Nitya Mukto, the full potency is there because the name is non different from the Lord. The Adi Purana says that when we are chanting Hare Krishna, we are at the same time associating with Krishna. We are with Krishna. So in this way, Krishna, he is Sadaisvarya Purna. He is complete in all opulences. Therefore, Krishna is by no means limited. Therefore, neither is his name limited. But it's us, the chanters, who are limited and are experiencing our limitation very much. We are, no matter how deep we go in our chanting, we feel that, what love do we have? Even Srimati Radharani would sometimes say, I have no love for Krishna at all. The very fact that he left and I didn't die is the very proof. The very proof that I have no love at all. So in this way, we can understand that there is no limit to the realization that one can gain from the chanting of the holy name. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila chapter 4, there's the description of the internal purpose of the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in that chapter, we find the description of Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna, which is unlimited, because she is discovering more and more qualities of Krishna. And each time when she discovers a new quality of Krishna, her love embraces that quality as well. In this way, her realization in Krishna consciousness is growing eternally. So this is basically the model. This is what will happen in chanting the holy name. Ever growing love for Krishna, and with it, ever growing attraction to Krishna, and with it, an ever growing eagerness to explore the unlimited nature. Isn't it ecstatitsky? Yes. Chanting. Sorry. It's okay. So anyway, but what to do when we are confronted with our own limitations? Limitations can be many. So it is said, there can be Hridaya Durbalyam, weakness of heart, attraction to material things, tendencies to find fault, weakness of heart, hankering for personal glorification, and therefore, how can we chant for Krishna? Then we just chant for ourselves, for our own glory. Rock star. What to do? Like that, and it's like raga. I do only in the bathroom. Ayendra also used to do in the bathroom, because Ayendra used to clean the bathrooms and then sometimes also sing. Yeah. So many mellows, so many moods. All our personal offering to glorify Krishna. And then, katanchana smrite yasmin duskaram sukaram bhavet. Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, it is very difficult. Why is it that this Kali Yuga is special? In his Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami gives a description of the day of Brahma and how in the day of Brahma there are 1,000 cycles of 4 yugas, the 1,000 Divya Yugas, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam, 1,000 Divya Yugas in one day of Brahma. And then it is explained that generally Narayan is Triyugi Narayan. He appears in 3 Yugas, but yet he also appears in the age of Kali. But in the age of Kali, he appears as a covered incarnation. Then it describes that once in a day of Brahma, Krishna appears, and once in a day of Brahma, Lord Chaitanya appears. Then in the other 999 Kali Yugas, what happens? That is the question. So Srila Rupa Goswami describes that what happens then, there is also a form of the Lord, a Vishnu expansion of the Lord who is teaching Harinam. There is also Harinam in those other yugas. It's the same process is actually there, Harinam. Then what is the difference? What is the difference in this particular one age? Why is this one age so much glorified when in every age, in every Kali Yuga, in those thousands of ages, the Harinam is also there? It is because of Katanchana Smriti Yasmin Duskaram Sukaram Bhavet. It is because now there is that added mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very quickly there is result. Very quickly, easily obtained. The holy name is Krishna. But yet that holy name of Krishna in other ages is not so easily producing result. It requires a much greater endeavor. Now, a little endeavor and immediately, already, so much benefit is there, you see. That is why this age is special. The added mercy of Lord Chaitanya is there now. And now it is possible to very quickly attain benefit in this chanting, which in no other age is available in the same way. Therefore, in other ages, there is much more stress on proper conduct. In the Satya Yuga, In the Satya Yug, Kriteya Jayatu Vishnum. In Satya Yug, the process for the Yuga is, or the Yuga Dharma, is meditation upon the Lord. And we see that the duration of life is 100,000 years. Almost inconceivable. 100,000 years, and then, within those 100,000 years, people take vows to meditate for 10, 20, 30,000 years, 60,000 years, meditation, totally fixing the mind. Impossible. Not even for 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, whole minute, fixing the mind. Chanting one good round, who can say, today I've chanted one good round where I did not drift away. Who can say? We cannot say. We cannot. But somehow or other, that mercy is there. So, in that way, yes, very nice. In that way, suddenly, even although the chanting is not perfectly performed, the effect is there. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that even if the holy name is not properly pronounced, even if the mantra is not fully spoken, still the benefit is actually there. Yeah, so, you know, what if you just swallow a few syllables, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, or some other varieties, or, you know, I've heard so many things. I was driving in a car, someone sat behind me, right behind me, chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna. I was listening, right behind my ear. 2 hours I was listening, then finally I said, Prabhu, do you have another tune? Not to criticize, but just, yes, it is, maybe we cannot pronounce properly, maybe our minds are too restless, maybe we can't focus, whatever may be, but it's the intention that is accepted. Just the intention, the sincere intention to try and chant will give us the benefit, and then changes will come, because Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhaka Bunai Shavanadi Sudachitta Karyo Udai. This hearing and chanting about Krishna, it awakens the otherwise dormant soul. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave a lengthy explanation of what happens to the soul when the soul enters into the material body. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta explains that when the soul enters into the material body, then what is there in the material world for the soul? The soul is of the very same nature as Krishna. It is a chitkana, it is a small, separated part and parcel of Krishna, like a spark from the fire, like a drop of the ocean. The same qualities that are in Krishna are available in a minute form in the soul. Krishna cannot be attracted by the material energy. Krishna cannot enjoy anything material. Krishna only enjoys the spiritual. Nothing. Krishna enjoys devotional service. Krishna is not enjoying anything else. No amount of wealth, right? Even Bill Gates, with all his money, Microsoft, cannot impress Krishna. You know, it's like, got all this money. Big deal. Not impressed. No beauty in the world can impress Krishna. Nothing of this world can impress Krishna. Then if the soul is of the same nature as Krishna, then how is it that the soul can enjoy the material energy? The soul cannot. The soul cannot. The soul is not here now enjoying the, trying to enjoy the material energy. Oh no, that's not the soul. That's the mind. It's the mind. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains to us that the soul, when entering into the material body, goes into a dormant state immediately. Just like nothing to do. And the normal functions of the soul, thinking, feeling and willing, they are taken over by the mind. And it's the mind that is interacting all the time. The mind. Everyone's talking. My mind. You know, as soon as you talk, someone says, oh, my mind. Don't mind your mind. The mind, right? Don't mind. Whatever you do, don't mind, okay? It's just so much mind. My gosh. Thinking, feeling and willing. The original functions of thinking, feeling and willing are functions of the soul. Actually. And sravanadi sudha chitta karya udoy, this hearing and chanting awakens the original feelings of the soul. The original thinking, feeling of the soul. That's why there is some sort of amazing taste in repeating the same mantra again and again, in different variations, but still the same. But there is a taste. There is something. Some taste is awakening. But then, if the soul is not attracted to anything material, then why are we here? The soul is attracted to the position of Krishna. The soul, Iswaroham, aham bhogi. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. So that, yes, that position, yes, the soul can be attracted to. But once we are getting involved with the material energy, it's so ultimately boring that the soul can only fall asleep. And the mind is thinking, but maybe there is some juice. No, I think so. Because the desire, the original desire comes from the soul, the desire for happiness. So it's not that the soul is not part of the equation. It is the soul that is the root cause of the desire for that burning desire for happiness that cannot be filled by anything. That deep, deep urge that we all have that makes us do the craziest things and try anything and everything, risk our life. That has its roots in the soul because the soul is hankering for this happiness. That is the soul. But then the mind takes on the work. Let me try this, let me try that, let me try this, let me try that, let me try everything. Oh yes. Puna punas charivata charivananam. Chewing the chewed again and again. Life after life. So, like this, we get caught in a network. Our favorite song. The happy one that we sing every day. Sarira vijaja yadendriya tehekala. The senses are a path, a net that lead to a network of death. Sarira avijaja yadendriya tehekala. Jivavale visaya sagare. Yes, these senses create a network of death. And that's our favorite song. We like it very much. It's interesting if you would know the translation. It's one of our happiest songs, but it is happy. It's got a happy end. So it is a happy song. It is. although the senses create a network of death that traps us, it has a happy end because by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Nitai, Jaini Mai, Jaini Tai, yes, by their mercy, and by this prasad, of all the senses, the tongue is most voracious, most voracious. It is the tongue. It is the tongue especially of all the senses that entraps us into material existence. It is the tongue. Tongue, belly, genitals, vaja vegam, manasakaroda vegam, jiva vegam, udra pasta vegam, and so on. It's the tongue. One thing leads to the next. Tongue, belly, then genital, then it's a cycle. On and on and on and on. It's the tongue that entangles us the most, and it's the tongue. It's the tongue that liberates us ultimately. Although Chandramouli Maharaj mentioned to us that we have 2 ears and 1 tongue. So I liked it. I'm going to steal it, Maharaj. It's a gift. That's nice. That's nice. Now it has blessings. I'll tell them everyone. Chandramouli Maharaj gave me a gift. So the ears are important. Still, the Yuga Dharma is particularly depending on chanting. Because where there is no chanting, what is there to hear? When there's no chanting, what can we hear? Although hearing is the first process by which we make sambandha. Where there is no chanting, there is nothing to hear. So ultimately the chanting is, of the 9 processes, the central process, even more so than hearing. Yes. And the hearing is essential because the hearing nourishes the chanting. Without hearing, sometimes we dry up. Sometimes our ability to relish the name is drying up. And then by hearing again about Krishna and his amazing qualities, his mercy, we get again encouraged. And yes, we chant with new energy. So hearing, I just once tried to put it in a poetic way, that point about hearing nourishing the chanting, that hearing is the oil of the lamp of chanting. Right? It is the oil that keeps that light burning. Then some say, yeah, but the chanting, the real thing about the chanting is that it will bring us to remembering Krishna. Devadeva say the real thing is smaranam, actually. Sravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. You chant, and then you'll remember Krishna. Therefore, they say the ultimate stage is remembering. No, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said no. He said, because these things cannot be separated. Because from remembering, immediately comes chanting. Srimati Radharani is churning, making butter. Meanwhile, chanting Krishna's name because she's remembering Krishna's name. It's not a sadhana. She's not chanting because she's trying to shake off the mode of ignorance. She's chanting as a symptom of her remembrance of Krishna. Therefore, remembrance of Krishna also leads to chanting. So the central pivot of the 9-fold processes of devotional service is chanting. I didn't mention, but I'll do it now, that the 9-fold process of devotional service, Ravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, hearing, chanting, and remembering, is divided in 2 major sections. The first section is these 3, hearing, chanting, remembering, which is the Bhagavad Vidhi. And that is the Bhagavad Vidhi, or is the glorification of the Lord. Bhagavat, referring to Bhagavan, the path of glorification of the Lord. That is our main glorification. That's the internal. That is what will internally awaken love for Krishna. And then there are the other nine processes. Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, which are serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping the deity of the Lord, offering prayers, developing friendship, appreciating that Krishna is our well-wisher and we are fully dedicated to serve Krishna. And then dasyam, servitorship, serving the Lord. And finally, surrendering completely to the Lord, mind, body, and words. So all these are there. And especially these first three are the essence in the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, therefore, we're back to the tongue. The tongue being the most voracious, the most voracious. So it's interesting that such a small part of the body has such a big influence on our destiny. It's the tongue that has the greatest influence on our destiny. Didn't we hear this morning about the offenses against the holy name? And wasn't it so that that first offense got some special attention in the lecture? Because, you know, this Hatimata or this, I mean, I say it in Bengali, Maharaj said in Sanskrit. And this Hatimata, this offense, this mad elephant offense, can, where the elephant is let loose in a garden and just rips it to pieces, and a wild elephant can destroy everything. So, what can be said? That is there. Yes. It's again the tongue. See? The tongue. Again the tongue. Oh, then it is. Sense gratification. Eat anything. I don't, yes, you know. But don't you mind, you know, you're killing this this animal. You know what I mean? Just for your food. It tastes good. It tastes really good. Tasting blood. Tasting flesh. So many gruesome things. The tongue. It's the tongue. It's again the tongue, the tongue. Prabhupada, on one occasion, even spinning off the Bhagavad Gita, said, for the alcoholic, Krishna is the taste in whiskey. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. Krishna is that taste. Krishna is, and it's again, the taste, the taste. Because taste, we want taste. It's all about taste. I want to taste it. I want to try it. I want to experience it. I want to, it's the tongue. So see how the tongue is really entangling us in material existence, talking rubbish, and all that rubbish stays in our mind. It echoes the whole day, talking all kinds of rubbish, right? And then it echoes in our consciousness again and again. What we speak to each other, what we hear from each other, rubbish, 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 rubbish. Then in the head, rubbish, 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 rubbish. You know, in the early morning, sit down with a cup of coffee on top of a newspaper, reading rubbish, 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 rubbish. Right? Facebook, mostly rubbish, rubbish, rubbish. That is Krishna also. Yes. So, like this, put it in, into the consciousness. It's all sound vibration. Sound vibration. All like internet's extended hearing. It's all speaking and hearing. It's an extension of the tongue. It's all the tongue. So that's my point, that the tongue has such an important point on our destiny. If you look at a ship, you have a big oil tanker. It is almost a kilometer long. Right? Enormous, enormous hunk of metal. Can you imagine how heavy that is? 1 kilometer of metal filled with oil. I mean, the weight of that ship, it's inconceivable. And you know, that huge, huge ship, right? It is turned by a small piece of metal, which is the rudder, right? There's the ship. And at the end, there's a little piece of metal, the rudder, and it turns the whole ship around. That whole huge ship, turned by one little piece, the tongue is the same. Such a small part of our body. Little tongue. Mm-mm-mm. I've got a little tongue. You also have little tongue. Little tongue we have. Sounds like something from the Red Indians, you know. Little tongue. Talking tongues, yes. Forked tongue. There's many tongue varieties. Anyway, the tongue is so small. Such a small part of the body. But it is the tongue that can change our whole destiny. Our whole direction. Just the tongue. And it's that there where we make the endeavor. We say, yes, chanting, the essence, you know, we know that Srila Prabhupada said, to avoid inattentive chanting, one must hear oneself chanting. Okay, so the focus, we must hear ourselves chanting, yes. But it begins with the tongue, because if you don't make any sound, you can't hear yourself chanting, isn't it? Well, you know, I'm trying to hear myself chanting, not hearing very much, because I just can't get my tongue to move. When it comes to the holy name. Yes. So, first the endeavor. See, in chanting, when we speak about the tongue and the ear, we can see two elements there. One element is our endeavor, right? Where, and our offering to Krishna. We are making an endeavor to make an offering to Krishna. That is one aspect in the chanting. And then the amazing thing is the other aspect of chanting. Because the name is Krishna, then there is the darshan element. There is Krishna. So we hear, oh, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. We're getting a darshan. So there's these two parts in the holy name. One is we're making the offering by endeavor. And the other one, there's the darshan. And this way it's very interesting. Because you can focus on both, on trying to make a beautiful offering, to really pronounce, to, you know, even put a bit of heart into it, you know, to concentrate and to try and nicely chant. And then there's darshan. So then chanting, it is said in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami is explaining chanting and saying sometimes chanting is done loudly in Sankirtan, in congregational chanting of the holy name, and other times japa, softly chanting by oneself. So, why is chanting in Kirtan so easy and chanting japa so difficult? For many of us, the most ecstatic moment in chanting japa is when the rounds are finished. What can be said? And, you know, it takes... Now, what I'll say is not from a book, it's just a personal thought about the matter. I was thinking, when we are chanting in Kirtan, we borrow from each other. I was speaking about it the other day, that we can borrow. It's called Chayabhav, shadow reflection of ecstasy. So when someone else is having some ecstasy in chanting, that enthusiasm also touches us, right? Of course, not to the same extent as the original person, mostly, sometimes, but at least a shadow reflection, something in us is also there. And we also, that's why in the association of devotees, we feel so uplifted feel so, you know, all these people are just like totally into it. And then we also feel like, yes, yes. And it's nectar. It's wonderful. Try to do that all by yourself. It's more difficult. Right? And I mentioned also the other day, you know, like how long can you dance in ecstasy all alone in the room? Can you jump up and down for 1 hour? Huh? But last night people were jumping up and down for much longer than 1 hour. Right? We can do. Together we can do it. But alone in the room, how long can you jump? Right? For 1 hour? You know, it's like some people, but, you know, it's, if they do so, it's definitely madness, and I'm not sure if it's transcendental madness. In some cases, maybe transcendental. In that case, it's very nice. But even when a madman is dancing out of foolishness while chanting the holy name, then it becomes transcendental. That also. So that's our hope. On that strength, I'm carrying on in this process. What can be said? Anyway, the point is, so in kirtan, we are borrowing from each other's enthusiasm. That well-known story about Vishnujan. Vishnujan, Vishnujan, how is it that you're always so enthusiastic to just chant in kirtan? Vishnujan said, I'm not always enthusiastic to chant in kirtan, but I just act enthusiastic. Then the devotees become enthusiastic, and then I become enthusiastic. It's a classic, and it's really a very nice explanation of the interaction, how we make each other enthusiastic. And it is this exchange. Like, you know, this chanting, it's not a musical performance. Some people are chanting very complicated, some are chanting very simple. I was reading something about ragas, and it says that the most simple raga must at least contain 5 notes. Right? At least. It said kirtan, even 3 notes, right? For the chanting. That for religious chants, it said. Religious chants, they do even 3 notes. But raga must be at least 5. Some ragas, 7, 9, 12 notes. So when you get like a 12-note melody, then it gets like one of those where it's sometimes hard to remember. But it's all there. It is all there. The essence is not music. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying that the music is especially to attract those who have no love for the holy name. Then again, even if one has love for the holy name, we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go into different moods of ecstasy, and that then, at that time, Swarup Damodar, who perfectly understood the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would sing some particular line of a song or the holy name in a particular melody which was exactly fitting the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then that mood became reinforced and reinforced, that sometimes they got so much into it that for 9 hours they would repeat the same line of one song. Just a few words, but not getting past it. 9 hours stuck on just one thing, because their whole absorption was stuck like that in love. So the music is certainly adding to the feeling. In the Natya Shastra, it is described how music is meant to bring out different feelings, and these ragas are very intricately described, how they have different names and some bring out different moods. So music is very powerful. I'm preparing for a seminar which I'm supposed to give in Radhadesh on Kirtan. They asked me, Sachinandan Maharaj asked me, he somehow or other hypnotized me, got me to do it, because I'm thinking, why would I talk about Kirtan? Why don't I just do it? But somehow or other, Maharaj has this power with his smile, and he got me to do it. And now I'm going to teach there. So I was reading about music, and I picked up a book, History of Indian Music. Anyway, that's where I read about all these ragas and this and that. And because, you know, my raga is not my forte. I'm not my field of expertise. Then in that book, there was a story about the zoo in Berlin. That the zoo in Berlin in 1927, they did an experiment. And they brought a philharmonic orchestra into the zoo. And they were testing. They were testing how different animals would respond. So as they were playing for the rhinoceroses, they were aggressive. They wanted to attack no matter what melody was played. But when they played for the sea lions came out of the water and they stood in the water for the whole concert. The wolves, of course, they wanted to sing. This is going to be part of my course. So, yeah. the crocodiles would come out of the water and stand there frozen, listening. The scorpions also got really into it somehow or other. So even the envious creatures were attracted. The birds, they were looking down upon the music, you know. What kind of music is that, you know? It's like they were not interested. So it was a very revealing kind of experience. I thought it was a nice anecdote. I liked it. Good experiment. And it showed that, yes, animals alike, human beings alike, all are touched by music. It brings out emotions in the heart. So the purpose of all music is to chant the holy name and to add this music to the holy name. That's what it's for. All other music is decoration of a dead body, as Prabhupada said. Yes, so when we are alone chanting japa, then we don't have that support. When we are alone, we don't have the support of all these devotees. We don't have not the music. All we have is the name and our mind. And it's there where we are exposed. We are exposed. When we are chanting japa, then we are exposed for who we are. Then, you know, when you're chanting on music and tears start streaming from your eyes, you just feel, yes, Krishna. Ah, Krishna. Ah, 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 ah. Oh. And then after you can think, I'm getting advanced. Then just chant japa for a while. And then you realize that actually I'm a total neophyte. I have no love for Krishna at all. I don't have any taste for the holy name. Because the only way you can chant japa is by begging for the mercy. Oh, please, Krishna, please save me. Krishna, please allow me to be engaged in your service. Oh, Krishna, that's all we can do, right? Before, in japa, we become a beggar. And there's no other way. Okay, if someone is in Krishna Prem, then everything is just an ocean of ecstasy. But for us, who are sadhakas, it is like that. So, these are just some. So the amazing thing is the tongue. The tongue that can change our destiny. Just that little tongue. And if somehow or other, we can cooperate. Prabhupada's favorite cartoon, the lady to the man, saying, chant, chant, chant. The answer, can't. Yes. So that's us. That's our mind. Yes. It's the intelligence speaking to the mind. The intelligence says, chant. Mind says, can't. Prabhupada asked, Prabhupada said, so many lives, you've had so many lives in this material world. This one, please give it to me. Just this one. What does it mean, give it to Prabhupada? It means chant. Just this one, this time, somehow or other, let us chant. Yeah, now I have about 45 minutes left, according to the schedule, which is a good time to can't. Gosh. Yeah, I remember one Vyasa Puja offering of Shiv Ramaraj, who was starting, like, how he was 59, and he started to describe his doctor and his treatment and all the pills that he was taking and so on. And I started reading and I think, what's this? You know what I mean? What's this? The whole medical display here. And then he explained, yes, you know, as the years go on, I more and more realize that you really need a spiritual body to follow this process. And I feel like that today also. We need a spiritual body. But the amazing thing is that once we start chanting, then that chanting puts us on the spiritual plane and we can just transcend the body. Just like Prabhupada himself just danced in his old age in London, 1973, like inconceivably danced in front of the Rathgard. Transcending. I saw it with Bhakti Shroop Damodar Maharaj. We were in Spain and Maharaj had a problem with gout, some type of arthritis in the foot. And it was hard to walk, so he had a cane. So he's walking with the cane. And then it was time to lead kirtan. Then he took it was a harinam. He gave his cane to someone. Here, hold the cane. And then he started like doing this Manipuri thing, you know, intense kirtan. Dance like that, for 1 hour. And then at the end said, give me the cane. And he walked away like an old man. That was amazing. Huh? Yeah, transcendental. So let us see. Kirtan can do that. The holy name can lift us above the body or the bodily concept of life. So without further ado, we will just enter back into the chanting. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.